It's time for Blindly Obvious.
Blindly obvious, it's clear as can be. The things we ignore, but we all can see. Darkness it flees when scattered by the light. Blindly obvious, hidden in plain sight.
Hello and welcome to Blindly Obvious. I'm Tyler, as always, with my co-host Jeff, and today we are talking the conversation of uninvited. Jeff, you ever been uninvited?
All the time.
Oh man, you know, like they were thinking you were kind of cool, and then you said something, they were like, ooh, this guy's maybe not meant for the party crowd. Yeah, I know, but even beyond uninvited, how about, you know, I feel like maybe 20 to 30 years ago, it'd be pretty commonplace to just leave your front doors unlocked if you lived in a small town, right? And somebody might just show up, a family member, a friend, kick their shoes off, come in, say, hey, how's it going? And now, I feel like if that happened nowadays, people would be, you know, hey, why are you showing up at my door uninvited? What are you doing?
Isn't there a movie about this, Wedding Crashers? I saw it a long time ago, and I barely...
That's a good uninvited. I didn't think about that.
Yeah. I mean, you got people who just show up for... I don't know if I can tell these stories. I had my best friend, Brett...
Well, don't use the poor guy's name.
I don't even know if he's still alive.
Jeez, you guys, with friends like that, who needs enemies?
He's my best friend, and we would get in his car and drive an hour to the filthy rich area of Naples. And we're talking...
Oh, yeah, I've been there. It's goofy.
Back then.
Big time houses.
Multi-million dollar homes. What we literally did on Friday night is we'd show up about 10 o'clock and we would go to these places and see where all the lights were on and there's all these cars parked in the street and in the grass and whatever else. And we would just show up and walk in the front door.
Go to the house
party. And we'd go to the house party. We didn't know a soul.
Well, obviously, but I mean, if you're in fairness, a party at a house this big, probably 90% of the people there don't really actually know each other, right? If you just look like you belong, you do.
We just walked in, you know, talking.
Probably thought you guys were the pool boys.
Well, we did pull up in a hoopty.
I'll tell you what, man, the more and more you hear these stories about going to super rich people's house parties, I don't know.
We were welcomed, though.
Yeah.
We were brought right in.
That's what I'm saying. Why?
But so I guess technically I was a party crasher.
Or a new victim. I don't know.
Yeah, nothing like that ever happened, but.
Well, that's good.
Yeah. But, sheesh. You know,
pretty cool story to tell.
Well, I guess. I mean, I was a feral kid, man. That's all I can say. Yeah. Well,
at least you weren't unwelcomed, even though you weren't invited.
They, you know who actually was the one, I guess, that took you in was the girls. The guys were all scared to death. They're like, who are these guys?
Well, that's because you're just a ladies' man.
But they'd start talking. Hey, guys, come on in. You want a drink or something? Or
he says, that's why I came. I didn't drive 45 minutes from
nothing. I actually didn't drink.
No?
I didn't. Nope. No. I would never. I was that. Nope. I didn't drink. No. Right. No. I didn't do drugs.
Mm-mm. So you're like the worst kind of party goer. You're just going to stand in the corner and observe everyone.
No, I hung out. Made jokes. Life of the party. Told stories.
All right. You just didn't need a.
I didn't need
a helper.
Yeah. I didn't need the stuff.
I'm not that that's a bad thing.
No. I was just having fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, my goodness, when you're breaking into house parties, that sounds pretty fun. Yeah,
I can see
where you got enough thrill out of that.
See, the assumption was you thought I was being bad. No, I just showed up and see what would happen.
Yeah, well, that's not bad.
No.
It's not bad at all.
No, no.
You didn't literally break in. You just showed up and they invited you in.
Yeah, you open the door and say, what's up, guys? And they're like, hey.
Now, I'll tell you what, though. There are some people who would probably make an argument for a situation that happened at the Capitol a few years ago that you can't come in even
uninvited,
if invited.
Even if they invite
even
you in.
Even if you are invited, don't do it. Don't come in. Don't come in.
Wow, that's a twist.
Uh-huh. Oh, how about this? How about, speaking of uninvited or unexpected ways you show up, how about a time maybe you went to a church and maybe felt uninvited or to the contrary... Maybe you showed up in a place or found a connection with a person who brought you closer to God that was unexpected and in a way that you thought, man, I never would have guessed that was going to happen out of that.
I'll tell you what, I'll add one on that. You know, and I got to tell a little background on this. Someone comes to church, and of course, they're the pious people, and they're always evaluating everything. And they go, you know, I just didn't feel God today. And I love to say this to people like that. Oh, you didn't bring him with you?
Didn't bring him with you.
You know, because what they're trying to do, because I'm a preacher for those who don't know, is they're trying to demean you and tell you that God wasn't honored today, that he didn't even show up for the service. And you're pointing out, so he's not with you?
Mm.
Yeah.
And I do feel like, though, I would probably add a little extra to, not that that doesn't happen sometimes, but I think sometimes people live their week in a worldly sense, and the only time they get with God is for an hour on Sunday. I mean, I've been this person. So sometimes I still am, right? That I lose myself throughout the week and forget, like, hey, what are you doing? But then when you come on Sunday, maybe you didn't feel God, and you thought, well, man, why aren't I feeling God here? And you're right in that, well, isn't he supposed to be with you? And you forget that, man, what have you done this whole last week to have God with you right now anyway? How far away have you walked from God this week? You almost expect, well, I'm gonna come get refueled by my church experience so that when I'm not doing very good this week, I can just run on that full tank of gas I just picked up at the church station.
What you're really saying is to this person, you spent your whole week without God. You came here looking for him.
Yeah, and you didn't give it to me in the way that I thought I was going to get it or that I needed it.
And I came here and God didn't show up in a way that I was expecting. And so
my tank of gas doesn't feel full and I still got to leave. What do I do?
Clearly the person who's the problem here isn't me. It's you, preacher. Mm. You. And it's like, hold on a minute. Me and God are good. I think the issue's you.
Which is though, but if you take it, all that is a subconscious tie to people tying their spiritual or their worship leader, their spiritual leader to, well, my spiritual leader talks to God, so I'm good. As long as he's right with the Lord, I'm listening to him, I'm good.
Surrogate faith. Yeah, they don't have a relationship with God. They have a relationship with their preacher.
And
only.
Man, there are so many problems with that.
Yeah.
For putting your preacher in a place where then it allows them to sit on God's throne, it gives it too big of an ego, and that always leads to destruction. Mm. Also, you're sitting them on God's throne, which is going to lead you to putting expectations on them that are just not fair.
Well, it's a form of idolatry.
Yes. This preacher is just another man,
just
like you.
Yeah. And it's funny. I've had people tell me, in that same service, this was the best ever.
Mm.
Gosh, man, God was moving today.
So it's just literally like how you heard it.
I have no doubt that a person who is living apart from God all week is having trouble connecting in an hour.
Well, sure. I mean, it just makes good sense, right?
But the person who's living in communion with God daily, so in other words, they never hung up the phone week to week. They're just always on with God.
Because then you're talking somebody who's coming in, they're not living, you know, godly throughout the week per se. They haven't even, let alone hung up the phone, they haven't picked it up to even make the call in the first place.
Right. Yeah, they want you to call for them.
So they're now coming into the service waiting on, hold please.
Yeah.
And you're just listening to elevator music up here. Deedle 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 deedle. Then the service ends and you're like, well, wait a minute. I didn't get God on the line.
They're looking for Mama Bird to come throw open their mouth because they don't want to go find the worms themselves.
Gross.
Yeah. Only it's spiritually speaking. You go chew it up for me all week long and then come in here in 30 minutes and give it to me and so I can live on that for a week.
I think even if this is what we were doing, right? If we thought this would be satisfactory, that we could live off of our spiritual leader's faith and we get filled up on Sundays and we can take that throughout the week. How many of us are even taking what we're being taught on Sundays and actually applying it, let alone just hearing it, just applying it? And then beyond that, like obviously we just covered, right, not even having the personal relationship. How many people are just, like I said, not applying what they've learned from their spiritual leaders anyways?
Yeah.
They just hear it and go, well, that's good.
They're going back to same old, same old. You're not even attempting to apply it, let alone walk with God.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
We've talked a lot on here before about, like, you know, wisdom and knowledge and the difference between them. Of obviously, knowledge is great to have, right? It's great to acquire, but wisdom really makes, and you hit on this, and I love this, makes all the world's difference because wisdom is taking the knowledge you have and actually applying it.
In a meaningful way. Yeah, yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that, man, how many of us just stop at not even I was going to say stop at knowledge, but we stop at not even getting that.
Well, the worst part about this is anyone can be wise and still be a fool. Mm. And Solomon's is the proof of that. You know, it doesn't matter how much you know, it's what you do with it. And the guy had God-given divine knowledge.
Sure.
And inappropriately applied it.
Inappropriately applied his wisdom.
Mm-hmm. And became a fool. How many times have we uninvited God in our own lives?
Mm.
All the while claiming to walk with him, to be his people, to claim to be a Christian, to be a person of the way, to quote the Bible of Acts. That's what they were called, followers of the way. I think many times there are areas of our life where God is uninvited.
Issues we struggle with, things that we say, all right, God, I'll give you, you know, this, this, and this, but this here, I got to hold on to that. Yeah. That's mine to control.
That's my closet.
Right. And I mean, obviously we know, even all believers, right? You know, like, well, that's not how it works, but that doesn't mean that's not what we do, right?
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And then on the flip side, I don't know if we realize this, but God's invitation is always open.
Mm.
He's always inviting us into him.
And how about all the times he sends us invitations of, hey, why don't you go do this? Why don't you say this to this person? Why don't you help this person with that? And we say, oh, no, I can't, or whatever. We make up any excuse for why
plans.
We can't.
Yeah, I got plans.
I mean, anything. Yeah. I don't want to do that. I can't speak. I can't do this. I'm not made for that. Whatever it is. We all got excuses.
That didn't fit in my day.
Sure. Yep. But think about every time, right? That's declining an invitation, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. It is. You know, we didn't want to RSVP with God, you know, because we had something that was, in our view, more fun or more important. You know, like we talked about Sunday, most Christians have never read through the New Testament, let alone the Bible, but just the New Testament. When if you spent 2.5 minutes every day reading the Bible, you could read through the entire New Testament. If you're a slow reader, you'll read through it, the entire New Testament from Matthew to Revelation in a year.
For 2 minutes, two and a half minutes a day.
That's insane. Remember I shared this. I said the average person spends anywhere from 5 to 15 minutes every day on the toilet. And you mean to tell me you can't put your Candy Crush down for two and a half minutes?
So you really like only got to give up. You got to give up 20% of your toilet time, assuming you sit there for 15 minutes. Right. That's not much.
Isn't that crazy?
But we're not like,
that's just too much, God. Sorry, I got my Candy Crush. I'm on a roll.
And take that to the next level. When we do open God's Word, though, what are we doing? We're taking that invitation.
Yeah, we're saying, God, I want to spend time with you.
Because His Word is the invitation.
To me, I think what the Word, when you get into His Word, not only are that's God's love letter to you, but second, you're trying to get in line with Him. It's like, okay, so my wife and I, we sit down any chance we get and just talk. I love to sit. This morning we did it. We sat on the front porch while the dog's doing her business, and we're just talking and being together, you know, skin to skin contact, side by side, just in connection.
Wow, chicka, wow, wow. What are you setting up here?
You know, there's
some late night after 10 o'clock movies going on in here.
You know, like her neck was bothering her and her feet were hurting last night. I gave her a foot massage and a neck massage. And, you know, and there's nothing, not that it'd be wrong for it to be sexual. It's my wife, but
sure.
It's just connection.
Sure.
It's like, hey, oh yeah, I'll serve you. I want to be with you.
Mm.
Why do we not do that with God?
You know, I think it's probably unfair to say that we don't do it. I think a better question is, why don't we do it more often?
Yeah.
Because, well, I mean, of course we do it.
We had our moments.
And we know it's right. And we know how we feel when we do it.
Yeah.
We just then, man, our flesh is, obviously, as we're told over and over again, right? It's just a monster.
I don't think any of us really realize how selfish we all are.
Yes.
And we give ourselves permission, because everyone's doing it, to be that selfish person.
And it's so easy to justify anything that you want to justify.
You know what I think is cool, though? Even with all what we just said here, I've had those moments in life where I call them divine appointments, where God comes in like that friend you talked about, just barges in your house, uninvited, and interrupts your life and says, we got to talk. Let the dad talk. Let's talk.
And then there's those moments where God says, you done messed up, and it's been too many times I done told you about it.
Or the next one where God says, it's time to level up.
Ooh.
I love those.
You know, though, I think a problem I certainly struggle with, maybe more do too, is in the leveling up department. It's getting used to I'm leveling up. That's cool. It's going to be a new level. It's going to be better, more opportunity, more experience. All those things are true. but it's the process of getting there that's never like, oh yeah, man, that was cool. It was so easy. I just walked up the next floor of stairs. It's getting used to the like, all right, yeah, I know I'm going to the next level up, but I know with that comes usually some struggling, some letting go of, some things that once were no longer can be. It's a process, right?
Without exception, every time, it always means an old part of me that I love must die.
Mm. And what do you think, like, maybe give some examples of like what that would mean to somebody? Like, because when you think of an old part of me that must die, what's that mean?
Okay, well, I've admitted that I'm a recovering control freak.
Okay.
Doesn't mean that I don't still have bouts with that. I was so bad with being a control freak that I had on my office door in Tennessee, control is an illusion. And I saw it every day when I walked in my door.
Just as a reminder.
Just as a reminder. The only one that really has control is God. I have influence. I don't have control.
Mm.
Yeah. And that was hard for me to fully accept.
Sure.
But I'll tell you, if you understand that, it changes everything.
Mm-hmm.
You'll then petition the one who has control. Who has control?
God.
God. And amen. I don't look to me for the solution. I'm looking to him. Doesn't mean that I don't play a part. What's that saying? It says, pray like it depends on God and work like it depends on you. It's those two getting married together.
Because exactly, it does depend on both. He needs to send you in to accomplish his task, and you need him to provide you the tools and resources along the way to get the job done.
Yeah,
and it's not going to be without him.
Yeah, exactly. And by his choice, it's also not going to be without you.
Mm.
Yeah, that's the hard part. We want God just to come do it for us. He's like, no. I invited you in.
Yeah, God, I can see this tunnel needs dug through this mountain, but and I know you did just hand me a shovel, but if you could just blow it up with a stick of dynamite, I'll walk through the tunnel to the other side and I'll say, man, this was really cool. Look what we did, God.
Yeah, what they don't realize is God put that mountain there for you to dig through.
Mm.
Because there's a lesson to be learned in the digging process.
And none of us like to dig, do
no,
we?
No, that's that work part. We like to think, just believe. Just believe and it's all good.
Man.
I don't got to do nothing. Believe.
It's counterindicating to, I think, you know, in society, we all want to like, man, I want to make as much money as I could and do the least amount of physical, hard, everyday labor to get it, right? That would be the average person's, I think, assessment.
Yeah, I think the maxim is maximum reward or return, minimal effort.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So if we live like that and we adapt that mindset to our careers and whatever it is we're doing, that then bleeds over into our spiritual life,
sure,
right? Yeah. And then we treat God in the same capacity that, well, you know, God, I'll just do the bare minimum. I'll show up. I'm here today. You know, that's better than most, right? They're not even here. But what I forgot was that my mind wasn't here. So it was like I stayed home anyways. And then I still expect, though, well, God, you got to carry me through and you got to deliver me. And it's got to be as good as you said it was, even though I didn't do anything.
You just gave away why we have the sickness that we just opened with, talking about how we live our lives without God, is because most of us like to compartmentalize. Well, that's my home life. That's my work life. That's my entertainment life. That's my
man of a thousand hats.
Right. And what you don't realize is when you're a Christian, they all belong to God.
Bingo.
Yeah. And I think that we're always trying, again, having our own little closet. So we'll say, no, Jesus, you can come in my living room for this amount of time.
Yeah, but hold on. I ain't cleaned the bathroom today, yeah, so you can't come in there.
Or my favorite TV show that you wouldn't approve of is coming on in a few minutes. So
you're going to have to get out of here.
Yeah, it's time to
South go. Park starts at 10. You need to leave.
But no, we've got, we want to rope off areas where he can and can't go.
Mm.
All the while we forget it's his.
So basically,
you're his.
Would you say in your assessing of, as you said, whenever you level up, a part of you needs to die or be peeled away per mm-hmm. se. Is that kind of how you would describe that? As these, all of these different hats, as you move up in different levels, you start to realize, oh, I got to give all of these metaphorical hats. I need to give all these to God.
Well, I'll just tell it myself. So I got really sick last week. I don't know what it was, but I got super sick, and I won't give the details, but I was sick for 3 days. I was down 3 days, man. That's a long time for me. And there's a list, a piling list of things I've got to get done. And I literally couldn't get out of bed without being hunched over. I was so sick. I couldn't do anything. I was so preoccupied with pain. I couldn't think about anything else. I wasn't sure I was going to be preaching Sunday, this past Sunday.
The man flu is that bad, huh?
No, it wasn't the flu. I wasn't sure I wasn't having an appendicitis.
Sheesh.
And I never considered going to the hospital. And I was like, I almost went and I was like, that's going to be a $10,000 bill. I'd rather die.
Sheesh. So he stayed home.
Yeah.
And survived.
Yeah. And didn't tell my wife. I got in trouble on that one. I got in big trouble on that one. Anyway, yeah, I'm laying there and what I had to do is figuratively throw my hands up and say, God, if you don't fix this, either I'm staying here doing more work for the kingdom or I'm going home. You know, whichever one it is, but I'm not, in other words, I'm in this hole. May as well be 6 feet deep because it's where they're going to bury me or it's going to be God pulling me out. And I think I told you the only time I could think of that kind of came to a parallel was when I went whitewater rafting and was out of the boat going down the rapids, wore out, tossed and turned out of control by the water. I'm a good swimmer and being smashed into the huge rocks the size of a house and getting sucked under in what they call the sink and the drain. And then popping back up, you know, almost a minute later to get another breath before you're sucked under again. It wears you out pretty quick, is my point.
Mm-hmm.
By the end of it, the key in this whole thing was I'm a big guy, and the life vest that they gave me to put on was undersized for my weight. And so, and combined with my helmet they made me wear, which did save my life, being banged into the rocks, created enough weight above the water that it pushed my head under the water so that when I just sat there in the water not swimming, my nose was underwater. Only my eyes were out and up. Okay. I didn't have enough strength after being down that rapid to even push my head out of the water enough to breathe.
Mm.
Yeah. If you can understand that, like I was spent and I sat there floating down the rapid watching people on the shore who were literally 30 to 45 feet away at any time, watching me go down, pointing at me, but couldn't save me, couldn't help me. So the only one that was going to was going to be God. And then about the time I'm ready to give up, my boat paddles up behind me and my wife, who's only 100 pounds, pulls a 240-pound guy out of the water.
Pulls you on in.
Yeah, and saved my life. The point is that there was nothing I could do for myself in that moment, in the sickness moment. And I'm praying and I'm talking to God in the moment saying, okay, God, you got to show up. You got to do something.
So you find yourself in times of leveling up, almost like you got to surrender elements of control each time. Because that's your kryptonite per se. To where somebody else may struggle with, they got to surrender elements of something entirely different. Because that's what they struggle with.
I know it sounds so silly to some folks, but I think anybody in a responsible leadership position understands what I'm saying. And there are people who are looking to you to fix things. And there are some things that I can't fix apart from God.
Mm, exactly. Well, you know, I think that's a great way to actually shape that in, because I think oftentimes, as we described earlier, where leaders are put on these pedestals, the pressure of trying to fix the things that we can't change bleeds over onto people, right? And they try it because they're being demanded to by the crowd. And then it ends in failure because they can't live up to that.
Yeah, the position, that may be the position's responsibilities, but it's not possible.
Correct.
Yeah.
To where then, if we would take more of the approach of like, hey guys, there's just some things here that this is out of our hand. We want this to go this direction. We feel led that it should go this direction. We hope it does. We need to pray about it. But ultimately, like, it's not going to happen without God's intervention.
Right, right. Sometimes that intervention is divine. We call those miracles. And sometimes the intervention is God moves his people.
Sure.
To act.
Somebody else may show up that has the missing piece to the puzzle that you need.
There have been things that have broken at church or needed to be fixed. Either it was too heavy to lift, and if I had tried to lift it by myself, I would have injured myself. But simply calling five other guys to come and assist me in picking it up,
everybody bears a little bit of the weight.
Everyone's only carrying 50 pounds. And so together we can. Yeah. And so sometimes that's how God does it.
Well, maybe instead of living in a society that, I don't know, I kind of feel like since, it's probably been happening a long time, right? But since 2020, I would say everybody's been paying much more attention than we were before that, as a whole anyway, right? I think we've been living in a society that's very uninviting, very canceling, very, if you don't agree with exactly what I say, I can't communicate with you, I can't have anything to do with you.
I won't be in community with you.
Yeah, and man, what did you just say right there? We can do it together.
Yeah.
We're better together.
Yeah. Yeah. And think about all the people today who are depressed because they're lonely, because they don't have community.
Sure.
Connection with people.
They pulled themselves into isolation for whatever reason it may be. Once again, we all have a million excuses.
Right.
And you're right. And then they, well, man, I'm miserable. I'm lonely. I'm isolated. And exactly.
Your door's locked.
Once again, if you get into scripture, we're told right in the very beginning, we were never made to be alone.
Right. Community.
We were made for community.
Not just with people, with God.
So then you got to ask, well, man, why is everything working in complete opposition to that? Is there a reason for that? Is there a pattern to that? Is there a reason why maybe it would serve someone else to create a society to which everyone is separate, segregated, isolated, doesn't want to communicate, doesn't want to experience and share together? Would there be a reason for that?
I think it makes us controllable for a few who want to have want to exert their own will. In opposition to the one who actually has control.
Amen. And yeah. I think if we continue to grow and prosper and, you know, create an uninviting society, there's still going to be somebody that shows up. It's just a guest that we're not going to like.
Right.
To where we do the opposite. We create the inviting, welcoming, encouraging society that's in America. I knew it one time, right? When I was a kid, not saying it was perfect, but I'm saying there was a lot of that here. We're also going to get the other guest that's going to show up, who we are now inviting. And, you know, scripturally, you can see, I would say societies that have the Lord's blessing over them tend to do much better than the ones that don't.
Crazy thought. Yeah. Crazy thought. How about this, you know, to pull this all together? Imagine how your life would change if you stopped waiting to go meet with God for an hour on Sunday and you met with him all week. Still go there.
Sure.
Into the church and the community, but bring God with you when you go. And second, if we stopped locking doors and roping places off where God can't be, and instead began inviting him into our life on a regular basis, and again, that whole idea, don't hang up the phone. Don't push him out. Keep him in. Don't wait for him to have to show up uninvited. Always open the door. Be as invitational to him as he always is to us.
Can you imagine if a group full of believers are showing up to wherever they do life at each week, all of them, though, bringing the Holy Spirit with them?
Yeah.
Can you imagine how powerful that's going to be every week y'all get together?
It would change them, and if we're changed, it will change the world around us. We'll be that change.
This has been Blindly Obvious. You can visit our website at www.blindlyobvious.com, where you can catch up on past episodes as well as learn a little bit about us. We are so happy that you're here and hope these are just the conversations you've been looking for. Peace, love, and God bless. If you like what you've heard, please subscribe and share the word. And remember, eyes mean nothing if the mind is blind.
We're walking past the signs each day in little things missed along the way. The symbols hidden in glamour's light, blindly obvious, but out of sight.
magician's lie. A trick so good you don't ask why. The truth, it sits with open arms, but we fool ourselves with deception's charm.
Oh, I can see it. The roads lead back.